Jazzy 88 WF. That sounds just like Bonnie James. Because it is. It is. Oh, man. That is fresh off the new project, Solid. And it's my pleasure to bring to the to the microphone, not the stage, our friend, Bonnie. Oh, go my, Bonnie. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited because my record is dropping tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
After a few months wait, so it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. So, see, y'all, we got the hot stuff. And, Bonnie, you are, you know, just the thought of knowing you got a new one out and popping out is exciting for your fans and for people who have followed your music now for a couple of decades. Solid. Now, I know, as a rock, there's something that you're saying with this title. What's the story on Solid?
Well, you know, solid is one of those words that I love. It's a single word that means a bunch of different things. You know, there's something that's physically solid, and then a groove can have like a solid feel to it.
Sure.
But it also refers to relationships. And if you've got a solid relationship, you know that someone's got your back and he's going to be there with you 100% all the time through thick and thin. And that was the meaning that really just knocked me back. It's, oh, what a great title for this record, you know. I mean, it's talking about my relationship with music itself, because it's always been a solid relationship.
Oh, yeah.
How I try and be a stand-up person in all my relationships, and it just felt like a really good, positive sentiment for these times that we're living in.
Yeah.
And that's why I called the record that.
Yeah, definitely. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's one of the things that's important for people to realize. You know, we can't fall apart. We must be a solid nation. And must remain that way. And because you came out with the first, the title track of the project when you did your first single out, which was what, 3 months ago? 4 months?
Boy, yeah, maybe 3 months ago, yeah.
Okay. And knowing that is the case, you just keep going. You've been up at the top. You just keep hovering, and you just keep, you know, you're back and forth. But you're so used to being number one now, right, after all these number ones you've had.
Well, I don't take it for granted, but I think this might have been like my 20th number one single.
Oh, wow.
Kind of crazy.
That's beyond the pale. 20, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
I'm very, very grateful. I mean, thank you guys so much for supporting the music.
Of course.
We couldn't do without you.
I know. Well, you know, I looked in the inventory, and I'm like, we could do a Bonnie James marathon with all this Bonnie James in this collection up here. This is a crying shame. I mean, you know, all the way back to Trust. In the 90s, early 90s, all the way, man, down in through, you're just the whole, there's very little in
it. Well, you know, I always kind of wondered how it was going to go, because I wanted to be one of those people that kept, you know, just working for my entire life, and I wondered if I would run out of ideas, but I got to say, the songs that I've written for this new record, I think they're some of the best songs that I've written, so I think I'm not done yet.
Well, and in addition to that, as I was reviewing the Solid to pick my cuts, I could feel some of that original Trust and Sweet Thing, and I could feel some of that, you know, in, you know, Body Language, Shake It. I could feel you were pulling. It was like, man, you know, so it was that some of this new project, because
I don't really have like an agenda when I just try and open my heart up and see what's in there, you know, and this is the music that came out. But I agree, there's a, got some of it has a younger or, you know, maybe more wide-eyed feeling to it, and definitely I think each of these songs is memorable in their own way.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of it when I finished it.
Yeah, and I mean like the feel good stuff, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's really what I'm talking about, because I was like, mm-hmm. And you know, like you have something good to eat and then you're like, that sure was good. And you know,
I hear that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's the way some really, really good songs get you, if you are so inclined to receive it like that. And you know, I was like, okay, good, because I can tell when you all get to these points where, you know, not quite, something's wrong. You know, it's like, and so I said, okay, he's feeling, Boney's feeling it. Yeah, he's.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, even before the whole virus thing hit and all this violence and strife out there, I mean, in the months, you know, it's about a year ago I started working on the record, and there's just a lot of stuff in the news these days that, you know, could, you know, wind you up a little bit inside. Mm-hmm. So I would come out in the studio and I'd start writing, and the music was just a real respite for me, just to get away from things and to pour some other kinds of feelings into the music. And, and these songs came out sounding really sort of joyous and free and happy, and I think that was just a, you know, it's kind of counter-programming, probably.
Yeah.
But it was working for me. I'd be listening to the music and just grooving with a smile on my face, and so I'm hoping that the audience will feel the same way when I check it out.
Well, and speaking of the airplane ride of turbulence that we're all on in this world, has that impacted you musically? You know, this interview was scheduled before, and it just wasn't, the time wasn't right. And, you know, this, a lot of things have had to change, and, you know, we've had to, we were out for 3 weeks because of the campus, and, you know, it's just been a lot. How has that impacted you as far as business is concerned? I know you can't do the tours and all that, but.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a huge part of my job is being out there on the road, and that's all shut down, and no one really knows when that's going to be able to come back. So that's, you know, a little scary, daunting, or whatever, you know, but I trust that things will come back to normal eventually, but it's probably, the soonest I imagine it's going to be next year. I would imagine that people are going to say they want to go out to a concert or that it's even safe to do so. So that's a big deal for sure, you know. I mean, that takes up a lot of my time. It's a big part of my job, and I miss it, and I'm hopeful that it's all going to come back. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm grateful I've got this record coming out, and I've been doing these Facebook Lives, connecting with my fans every week. Tomorrow's probably going to be my last one of those for a while, but if people want to come on my Facebook Live tomorrow, I'll be there at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, sort of having like a record release party online and play a bunch of songs on the internet. But yeah, it's definitely a drag that the touring is on hold. Yeah. But, you know, my wife and I are okay, and we're here at home. Luckily, we have a nice place to ride it out in, and we have each other.
That's true.
So I try and just be grateful for all the things I do have.
That's
true,
man. That's true. And so, oh, the Boney James Live in the Living Room series. you know, everybody's doing Live in the Living Room sets. The interaction that you get, can you talk about the energy that you get on a stage with the people there versus the different type of energy from being, you know?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, the thing about playing live, you know, when you've got your band kicking behind you and you've got a crowd of people in front of you and everyone's all on the same wavelength, there's just that immediate sense of communication and being in a communal kind of space that is, you know, you can't get that anywhere else. I mean, that's the thing that made me want to be a musician in the first place, that feeling you get from a live concert. It's something you can't get anywhere else. So doing the things that I'm doing now on Facebook Live, it's more like being on TV, you know, where it's just me in the room by myself.
Right.
But that being said, it's kind of cool in a way because you know there are people out there watching you. You know, we get a few thousand people watching live, and then, you know, probably sometimes up to 40,000 people watch it after. So that puts a little pressure on it.
Yeah.
You know, you get that adrenaline like you're performing for sure from my perspective. And then I have a very close friend who also likes to come to my shows, and he said, you know, I love seeing your concert, but the Facebook Live thing, it's like I've got the best seat I've ever had, you know? And then I get, you know, there's communication, like they text you, and I talk directly to the fans, so it's that back-and-forth Q&A thing that you never get at a live show.
Yeah.
And most people never even see me without my hat on.
I was going to ask you about that.
I'm not wearing my hat. It's just me at home, so it's got an intimate quality that doesn't come from a concert, so I know a lot of the fans are kind of digging that part of it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, do you do your Boney dance?
Say what?
You do your Boney James dance?
I do a little dance. I do a little dance. I'm still feeling the music when I'm playing, you know. But it's different, but it's fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, minus the mosquitoes, I guess that would be kind of cool, you know, because when you go outside at a festival or concert, you know. But, you know, Boney, I've introduced you on stages and interviewed you for years. And I will tell you right now that on behalf of our station, we appreciate you more than we could ever say, because you have, you know, through wind and rain, you know, our fundraisers or whatever we've done, you know, you've been 100% supportive of WFSK. And I'm just letting you know that we just cannot thank you enough for, because you are a number one recording artist, and, you know, you hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, and you respect us as if you have been knowing, you know, us here for 1,000 years. And you know, that means so much to me personally, that, you know, you wouldn't treat us, because, you know, we're not big corporate and all that. We're just a little guy. But you still respect us. You know, I love that, okay?
Well, thank you so much. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And who else is on this project?
Well, I really only have one special guest on the project, and it's Kenny Lattimore. There's a song called "The Bee" here there, and it's actually doing pretty well on the R&B side too. So I'm really proud of that song. It's a track that I had co-written with my collaborator Jairus Mosey, and a friend of his named Beats Made by Fresh, which is his name. And I sent it to Kenny Lattimore, and he wrote the lyrics with a friend of his, Dracar Wesley, and It's a very, very cool kind of, you know, it's also romantic. It's about relationships. It definitely fits into the theme of the record.
Okay.
And they're spinning it over on the R&B side, so I'm really grateful it's working
out.
Well, that's
good, because we are too here.
Hey, so, thank you.
Yeah, you know, we walk on the wild side.
There you go. That's
what's
so cool about you.
And, you know, Kenny Lattimore, I'm like, well, we're about to take this off of here right now. Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. I added it last week. Now, some of the musicians that are on, is this your regular band, your studio band?
Well, you know, Omari Williams has been my touring drummer for about 15 years now, and he's playing the live drums on the whole record. The first instrumental track, "Solid," I co-wrote with Smitty Smith, my bass player, and Kendall Gilder, the guitar player that was in the band at the time. And so Kendall's playing guitar on the whole record. Smitty played on like 3 tracks. I did use a couple of LA cats that I like to use. Alex Al is a great bass player that's playing on there, and Carnell Harrell is a great keyboard player that played on it. I played a lot of the keyboards myself, too. And I got Paul Jackson Jr. on there. We hadn't worked together in many years, so he played guitar in a bunch of songs. And, of course, percussionist I've been working with on every single record since the beginning, Lenny Castro's on too. So that's pretty much the whole crew. Oh, Michael Stever played some trumpet on there. He used to tour with Brian Culbertson's band, and he played some. We did like a little horn section thing, just the two of us here in my studio. And that's, I think that's the whole crew.
Okay. Well, you got some tight musicians on here.
Definitely.
And where was this done? In your studio where you live, or did you?
Yeah, I've got a studio, a little studio in the backyard, and that's where I do about 80% of it. You know, I record all the guitars there, and bass, and keyboards, and my saxes. And then when I want to do live drums and percussion, we go to a wonderful recording studio, which is pretty close to my house. It's called Sunset Sound, and it's up on Hollywood Boulevard, and it's been there for like 50 years. And, you know, the Rolling Stones, and The Doors, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and all these classic records have been recorded there. So it's got a great kind of old school sound for putting the live drums down. So that's where I go for that.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, what's the early response been on the Solid project?
Well, you know, thankfully radio has been supporting the record, and I know people have been pre-ordering the record, so I'm very curious to see what we sell, since I know people have been pretty locked down. But I have not seen any, like, real reviews of the record yet. You know, I think most people are waiting to hear the whole thing when it comes out tomorrow. But I'm pretty confident people are going to get excited about this one.
Well, I was happy as a clam. I'm like, hey, I got the dance. I'm like, I got to get work done here. But I had to pull, I pulled four. And, you know, that's a one over my normal limit. But see, this is one of them right here. This is cut number three. See, this is that sound, Boney, that, you know, made folks fall in love with you, see. You know, it's that sneaky, sexy, you know, sexy. I mean, I'm like, I see you.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a song, I wrote this one by myself, I'm playing the keyboards on there too. This one just kind of spilled out, just kind of this way, so I love this song myself.
Yeah, yeah, Okay, well, I tell you what, our audience is going to love it. It's called The Bottom Line. It'll be cut number three when you get your solid projects. And of course, you know, the Kenny Lattimore. And Kenny's done a couple of different ones with you before. Hasn't he sung vocals with you before?
No, we never. This is the first time we've ever worked together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now, we've known each other for about 20 years. I met him at the Soul Train Awards the year that I won, and he was backstage, and we connected. But this is the first time we've ever actually had a chance to work together, so it's a real beautiful thing.
Yeah, how did you feel that his voice meshed with your horn and stuff?
Oh, it's really tappy. You know, I mean, you always imagine how it's going to be, but this one turned out even better than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And he co-wrote that
He and his partner wrote the lyrics.
Okay, excellent. And how much of your time is spent actually writing of the songs, Boney, versus just, you know, playing and et cetera?
Well, you know, I mean, it usually takes about a year to make the whole record. I mean, the way I work it's interesting. You know, I mean, I kind of just get little scraps of ideas, and then I always try and sing them or play a little bit of something, and I make these little files of all my ideas, and then I just keep kind of opening them up and listening to them and see if there's another idea I can add on it, and it starts real slow, and then it builds real fast, and at the end, it's like, you know, 14-hour days.
Yeah.
Just trying to make, because you got to write the melody and then write, you know, all the chords, and then make the arrangement, and then get the performances, and then, you know, it's a big deal to make a record. You know, it starts with absolutely nothing. You got a blank page.
Yeah.
And somehow it always comes together. But I spent about a year all in making this record.
Yeah, definitely. Now, let me ask you, decades in that you've been in, and, you know, in the music, this music, and, you know, some of your songs were crossed over to R&B. A lot of people found out who you were through the R&B side. And do you think that times like this and people feeling different ways, because you've been around for decades, and you see change come and society and culture and race and things of that nature. How do you think artists or people in the industry should respond or react to it? Just sit down and write, or, you know, what is it? And what do you do personally to get your thoughts out?
Well, I think everybody, you know, just has to do what they feel in terms of communicating, you know, their feelings. I mean, I have very, very deeply, strongly felt political and social views about things. And, you know, generally speaking, as a rule, I don't use my social media to talk about that stuff, because I don't think social media is a good place to talk about that stuff. You know, there's no way to have a dialogue about it, you know. So as a rule, I have not done a lot of, you know, sharing my feelings. I donate a lot of money to various things.
Good for you.
And everybody that sits down and talks to me knows how I feel about things, but I don't put that stuff out there on the internet, because I just don't want to contribute to the noise. But, you know, given in this last current situation, you know, I had to say something. I mean, I posted the Black Lives Matter square on the Blackout Tuesday, and I posted a bunch of voting information, and a lot of people were like, thanks for speaking up and supporting me. Yeah. In this current crisis, it was hard to not say anything at all because things were just so messed up.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of artists love to go on Twitter and Instagram and are constantly talking about stuff, and I've never been one to do that just because I'm a kind of quiet, reserved person generally.
Yeah.
And I don't share my personal feelings about much online, but in this last week I felt like, you know, he couldn't say nothing, so I said, you know, something supportive.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, to me, it's all about, you know, speech. What is speech? And I think speech is voting, and I think speech is spending money supporting things, and I sometimes think that Twitter is just noise, but I know everybody has their own point of view about that.
Yeah, it is noise.
And I don't judge anybody for doing anything, and I'm always just trying to do what feels right for me.
Yeah, it's knee-jerk communications, man. And I can dig that. You know, a lot of people, because I wonder this, as, you know, as a black person that is a music lover of this music's smooth and contemporary, and a lot of the artists are white. And I'm like, okay, where y'all at on this? And, you know, we, as a consumer, you know, we're just wondering, you know, some people are wondering. And I wondered about you because your support and love for you is like huge in the black community. And I just wonder, I said, well, you know, when are some of these cats going to say something? And you don't have to say it on social media, but I'm just, you know, I just wonder, in the industry itself, I mean, you know, where's everybody at?
I saw a lot of people, you know, tweeting support, you know, and I did post some stuff online, and I talked about it during my Facebook Live, too.
Good for you.
You know,
good for you.
So I'm not shy about saying that I'm against racism and police violence is just out of hand and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, I saw a comment from somebody that was in one of the label type people that was getting some flack because he hadn't done a public statement. And I just wondered, you know, because a lot of time we want to know where you stand, you know, so not just you, but across the board, everybody, because, you know, that's what time it is. And when it comes down to it, it changes everything when we know that, you know, you're paying attention and you're conscious and fully aware that, you know, this is painful. And and hope that others that haven't said anything will speak up and quit being scared. But I appreciate your courage. And, you know, Boney, I want to tell you, too, that I figured that you were like that because, you know, when I've seen you off the stage and you just you're quiet anyway. And, you know, you got to pull him. I'm like, dude, come on, be in this conversation. It's like, you know, I ask you 1,000 questions. But we engaged several times when I chatted with you, and it's really been, you know, it was interesting. And I you know, gathered that, you know, you respected my opinion and my thoughts, you know, because I just, you know, because sometimes people tell you anything, but I just was impressed by how cool you were. So it's not just on stage only.
I'm a quiet person. I speak through my music. I mean, that's why music has been so valuable to me, because, you know, I'm not so verbal sometimes.
You're really not. But when you are, you know, it's good. Now, Boney, is there somebody in your career that you have always, you know, if you could just give your eye tooth to, you know, be with on stage or in the studio, doesn't matter if they're famous or not. Is there anybody that you just feel like this would be heaven?
It's like a dream collaboration, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Stevie Wonder's always been my favorite artist. So, you know, we've got a chance to, had a chance to hang out a few times, but I've not been able to get him to do a guest spot on my record. So maybe someday that might happen.
Say, it hasn't happened yet, huh?
No. He gave me his number once and said, call me if you ever want me. So I've called him 100 times. But he has not returned my call yet.
Yeah, he looked down and said, no, I ain't going to tell him. That would be so cool, man. When that one happens, you know, that record's flying off the shelf, you know. Anyway, so, Bonnie, how can people, you know, social, live from the living room, cuts from the couch?
It's Solid Fridays from the Backyard Studio. But tomorrow's my last one, so people want to catch one, at least for a while. So
okay.
If people want to catch one, they need to tune in tomorrow.
Okay.
It's on my Facebook page. It's just Bonnie James. I think it's... If you just go on Facebook and search me, you'll find it, I'm sure.
Okay.
But, or just maybe Google Bonnie James Facebook Live, and there I am, too. But that's going to be at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay,
solid. I'm going to play a few songs off the new record, and we'll do a little Q&A, and it'll be fun.
Yeah. So it's a set from the sofa. he's live in the living room, yo. And just go to your page, your website, your page. If you're not already a friend, how do you get on there?
I think it's just if you go to Facebook.com/Bonnie James, that'll be it.
Cool. All right, Bonnie, keep us posted. And, you know, you're... solid.
I try to be solid. That is always my goal.
You are.
To be solid for everybody all the time.
Yeah, definitely. How's the family? Good? Everybody good?
Oh, yeah, it's all good. Thank you so much for asking.
All right, excellent. Take good care. It's Bonnie James, y'all. Bonnie James.
Everyone be safe out there.
Yes. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you, Sharon.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. That was the hit maker himself, y'all. Number ones. Stack on stack. Goes back way back. Ooh wee. 1992. And ever since then, it's been Bonnie James, stack to stack, and back to back.